No.
That's right. She's with Oscar, same as Joe, isn't she? Panin tried to pump me. I don't pump easily. His specific concern is teapot. The teapot is missing, he told me. You'd better find it before the wrong people get their hands on it and use it to make tea. There was a lot of tap dancing, but that's the basic substance of it. I carefully avoid thinking about our inconclusive exchange on the topic of Amsterdam, which is now looking even murkier in context. They do that, you know, to muddy the waters. Fucking cultists. He offered to trade, if we have anything to offer.
Wonderful.
Shona is making notes.
So that's it?
Substantially, yes. Because all I know for sure about the cultist connection is inference, and Angleton's instructions. Thus do we damn ourselves by the treachery of our own words.
Okay, I'll compile this and add it to the minutes, so at least we've got it on paper somewhere. That should cover you. Then we can decide how and when to send it up the chain.
She stares at me blackly.
I assume that's why you brought it up here?
Yes. I want to keep it confidential to the Bloody Baron Committee for now. I'm worried about how Panin knew who to talk to and where to find him. Not to mention when. Iris speaks up.
Yes, that's very disturbing.
She looks appropriately disturbed for a split second, then flexes her management muscle.
Vikram, would you be a dear and make sure to accidentally lose the minutes of this session between your desk and your email program? I think it wouldn't hurt for distribution to be delayed for a few days until the situation settles one way or the other.
Despite the aging biker chick style that she affects, the temperament and training of a steely home county's matron lurk not too far under the skin. Put her in twinset and pearls, and you can see her biting the heads off hunt saboteurs. When she turns the big guns on Chaudhry, he runs up the white flag at once.
Certainly, madam.
He spares me a poisonous glance, which I ignore.
SS-03 Howard's unfortunate encounter will be thoroughly misfiled until I hear otherwise. Do you expect Panin to make contact again?
Shona demands.
In your personal judgment?
Now that's a question and a half. He left me a card in case I want to contact him, but I wouldn't rule it out. I got the impression he was worried about timing. If the 13th Directorate are running to some kind of schedule, we need to know, don't we? Iris looks grimly pleased.
Minute that.
Schedules.
Shona stares at Vikram.
What does the calendar have for us?
The calendar? It's August bank holiday in a couple of weeks.
I believe she was asking about significant intersections. Iris interrupts, sparing me a quelling glance.
Summit conferences, international treaties, Mayan great cycle endings, general elections, prophesied apocalypses, that sort of thing.
It'll be an outlook under events. You're the one with the laptop, why don't you look it up?
Chaudhry manages to look long-suffering.
What exactly am I supposed to be looking for?
Anything.
Shona makes a curse of the word.
Whatever might interest Panin.
I blink. Suddenly, a rather unpalatable thought occurs to me. Forget dates that interest Panin. What about dates relevant to the teapot? Assuming the teapot in question is the one I'm thinking of. Trying not to be too obvious about it, I pull out my phone and start hunting. There's an e-book reader, and a Wikipedia client, and a bunch of other stuff. What was Ungern Sternberg's adjutant called again?
Bob, what are you doing?
It's Iris. I grin apologetically. Checking a different calendar. 19 August 1921. That's when the mutineers murdered Teapot. At least, that's when they said they did the deed.
And the 90th anniversary is coming up in the next week.
How interesting. I quickly scan for other significant anniversaries on that date. Salem witch trial executions, Hungerford massacre, 20th anniversary of the collapse of the USSR. No, sorry, nothing there. I say, putting my phone away. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It's like this. If you were going to try and break the Gesh that restrains an extra-dimensional horror called the Eater of Souls, wouldn't you pick the anniversary of its last taste of freedom? Dates have resonance, after all, and this particular horror has been living quietly among human beings, the lion lying down with the lamb, for so long that our patterns of thought have imprinted upon it. Isn't that just the sort of nutso thing that the cultists might be up to? trying to free a vastly powerful occult force from its laundry-imposed chains? And isn't this exactly the sort of thing that Panin might anticipate? Well, maybe. There's a slight motivational gap. Just what makes cultists tick, anyway? Besides the obvious, having your head turned by a hugely powerful glamour, being bound by a Gesh, that sort of thing, what's in it for them? Fucked if I know. I mean, what makes your average high school shooter tick, for that matter? Suddenly, not knowing is making me itch. But the only person who can answer for sure is the one person I don't dare to ask, Angleton.
Maybe we could wire Bob, Shona suggests.
What? I shake my head. What do you mean?
If Panin makes contact again, it would really help if you had a recording angel,
she points out. There was a word in that sentence. If. I look at Iris for support, but she's nodding thoughtfully along with Shona. Panin's not going to make contact on working hours, and if it's all right by you, I'd rather not wear a wire during all my off-duty life. Now, if you want me to use that business card and wear a recorder while we're talking, that's another matter. But I think we ought to have something to trade with him before we go there, otherwise he's not going to give us anything for free. Point, says Iris. Vikram looks at me through slitted eyes.
We should wire him anyway, he suggests maliciously. Just in case.
I sink back in my chair, racking my brain for plausible defenses. We've only been in this meeting for half an hour, and already it feels like a decade. What a morning. But it could be worse. I've got to run Angleton's little errand at 2 o'clock.